Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so glad that you join us today as we continue our interview with Kim Chadwell, author of a great book, Dripping in Grace. You need to go to Amazon, type in Dripping in Grace book, and it'll pop up. You need this book, folks. You've heard me talk about it. This is the fourth episode that we've done a review on this book and talked to Kim Chadwell about the book and what the content in the book. You need to get this book. It is that good. I'm telling you. And it's telling her true story of how she was abused and neglected and everything that went on in her life. And then how she came to the point of forgiveness for herself, as well as her mother that inflicted it, as well as her siblings. Where you're going to hear about how she had, we're starting the interview where she had to comb her hair. She was asked to comb her mother's hair. Mother had dementia. Kim had gone to visit her. She'd already said she'd forgiven her. And as this woman came into the room, she said, "Kim, will you comb my hair?" And she had to say yes. And by saying yes, she was starting to gain the victory. She knew the battle was coming up. And as she combed her mother's hair, all these different things the devil was throwing at her. And she was able to overcome each and every one of them. By the time she finished, she'd not only forgiven her mother, but she'd found forgiveness for herself. We're going to go through the rest of this interview with Kim. It is an awesome interview, I'm telling you. You need to stick around all the way to the end, because at the end, you're going to have the opportunity to purchase her book, and I highly recommend it. It's in the show notes in case you have to leave early. Just click on the link and go to it. Till then, let's jump right back into the interview with Kim Chadwell.
And I knew that I had to apply my forgiveness for her, or it would never have been forgiveness. It would have been just a degree of toleration. And the next part of what the depth of forgiveness is can you pray? Can you imagine? Can you picture? What I did was going into heaven with her, holding her hand. But the other is for that person to greet you at the gate. That's when you know you've forgiven that person. Amen. Are you going to stand at the gate and person X is standing there to greet you to come in? Are you going to walk away and say, no thanks? Of course not. Wow. So that's when you know that you have really forgiven. We're very human, you know, we're physical beings. We have physical emotions and traumas and feelings, but our spirit can become stronger and take over when we choose to behave in such a manner.
Amen. Now, there are other examples in your book of the devil testing you. Tell us about the time that you went to your mother's house for drop off a Christmas present and found out the entire family was there for dinner, but nobody had mentioned anything about that to you. Tell us about that.
Yes, that was horrible. It was a particular Christmas, and I got to thinking about her, and she was a widow by then. And I thought, it was an odd year, so I thought with circumstances with different ones. That's what I thought. That's what I was told. So I thought, I'm going to go give her a visit. So I drive to her home, literally almost thought I was at the wrong house for a moment because there were so many cars in the driveway. And I thought, oh, my goodness. So I went to the door, rang the doorbell. She looked very shocked when she answered the door, but she did invite me in. And I walk into that same kitchen. They're all there, talking and laughing, interacting with their spouses. They turn and see me and literally just stop mid-sentence. They all look at me. Then they go right back to talking to each other. No one addressed me. No one acknowledged me. No one spoke to me. And she kind of throws her hands up. So she goes, "I don't have any room at the table. I don't have any more room at the table. Basically, in other words, I wasn't invited or welcomed at the table," that same little phrase of the table. And So there I was. I just stood there, and I felt so physically sick. I was so hurt. And here it was again. Same things that kept going on in childhood. Now I'm an adult, and they all knew about it. So I turned around, walked down the hallway, and left the house. Mm-hmm. No one called. No one acknowledged it. No one talked about it. Everyone had Christmas together, but I was not included or invited or welcomed or made room for. And it was hurtful, but yeah. I had to deal with it. I had to, just many situations I've had to deal mm-hmm. with.
Yeah. Now, your relationship with your siblings isn't all that great, correct?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And from the book, you described how basically all of the family would put the blame and everything over on you. They'd deflect and it all end up in your lap, basically. So for whatever reason, I guess to gain the approval of the mother or whatever. But, I mean, that growing up like that, being the scapegoat for everything and being the one that had to sit back and take it, I mean, that added to the physical abuse that you were going through as well. And being able to find forgiveness for them, for others, and remember, explain how you were able to use forgiveness for them, for others, and how that provided forgiveness for you.
Well, of course, you know, we recite the Lord's Prayer, and, you know, as ornery as it can sound, but even a drunk can recite the Lord's Prayer from the bar stool. It is something that we just say and we memorize and we learn. But here, this important sentence is coming from the lips of Christ. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And, you know, there was a lot there of dynamics. There was physical abuse. There was emotional abuse. Mm-hmm. There was mental abuse. There was rejection. There was intentional harm done to me. It was intentional. Maybe there's a handful that was by accident, but not very much. There was a lot of intent. And that's one of the things with forgiveness. You deal with the intent with the heart. And you find out someone didn't mean to. Well, that's a whole lot easier to forgive than someone who outright did something on purpose. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we think about those that may have to forgive a drunk driver that, you know, made a poor choice but didn't really mean to kill that person but yet made some really bad choices. And so then there's the degree of the people that tell us they're sorry. And that's a whole lot easier. We still can have hard feelings or maybe struggle with forgiveness, but we got the I'm sorry. We might say, well, they didn't mean it, or I don't know, they're going to have to earn it back. We can give ourselves all kinds of excuses to hold on to unforgiveness. But I believe the hardest one is when you don't receive any apology and you don't receive any accountability. So all the weight is on our, it is on our shoulders anyway, but it's even more so because you're struggling to get it in the right perspective by yourself. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's an alcoholic parent or an abandoned parent that abandoned us or violence or abuse or on and on, it can go. So there I was, and I had to deal with this issue of forgiveness. And what happened with me is I was on such a search to find God. I really wasn't on a search initially of forgiveness. My journey, which is in the book, was I was studying scriptures. I just wanted to find out who I was. I was all alone. I felt lonely. I felt marked. I felt that no one loved me. No one wanted me. And I was bumbling through life. All I really had was a Bible. So I start reading the Bible, and I start seeing these different things that I needed to do. I needed to learn the scriptures. I needed to be more accountable. But what happened was when I had that vision, I took it very seriously. And I realized, you know, the word says about confessing all of our sins. Mm-hmm. And I thought, have I really confessed all of our sins? I used the blanket approach. Okay, Lord, please forgive me. I love you, and I ask Jesus into my heart. That's great. But had I really addressed the issue of confession? So the first time that I started dealing with that, I prayed for 3 straight hours. Mm-hmm. And I worked my way through. And then I started realizing the element of man to man, and that is the issue of accountability. Now, again, this journey was for me as a Christian. So I start thinking about things of the past that I'd confessed or dealt with, and I realized there were some things that although I'd said to God, please forgive me, I hadn't really been accountable to those people, and things that I had not made right or left hanging and moved on, like we've all done. You know, many people church hop and yeah. and job jump and city change, and we just move on. God forgive me. And we know that there's some things back there that we could have made right. And I wrote some letters. I made some phone calls. I even sent some money. I mean, there's a lot of things the Lord brought to my mind. And I asked God, God, bring to my mind anything I need to be accountable for that I've left back there. But what happened was, as I began to work on me as a Christian, and I didn't do it because it was like, well, this is my only way to get feeling better. No, I was truly wanting to find God. So as I was working to find God, my heart began to change. And I did not realize it till when I was finished. And then you look back and you're like, wow, that's the answer. I was praying for a revelation. I was praying for another touch. I was praying for another healing. I'd been prayed for, prayed over, prayed on, you know, you name it. I'd done it. But what it came down to in the end, with all this knowledge and all this ability and all this gifting and standing up and speaking and all my writing and all this, I still had to do one thing, and it comes down to one word, and it's choice. Forgiveness is the ultimate hurdle for man. Amen. It's above temptation. Yep. Forget, you know, temptation, we have tools. We have scripture, you know, flee from the devil. He flees from you. You'll never be tempted above what you can handle. You have all these tools. But in the end, forgiveness, regardless of your emotions, regardless of the bleeding, of the harm, of the damage, of the turmoil, it comes down to choice.
Yep. Amen.
And so that's where I was.
Amen. Now, later, you found out some background on your mother that answered some of the questions of, you know, how she became the person she was. Can you catch us up on that? Because I thought that was very interesting.
Yes. I think that, you know, when I did some search of the files, and I did find the and look into the previous sealed files, and it was hard. I wanted to know. I had a hunger to know, but I was afraid to know. But I wanted to know because there was so much blankness or unfilled details. And I went through those files, and she, in a nutshell, was sort of a wild spirit, if that's the right word. She married young, and she was running from abuse. She had tremendous abuse in her life, and she was running from it. They were extremely poor, and she meets my father, who was 12 years older than her, and he also had limited education, and he had been in the war and or been in the military, and he had just been released. So bumble along, they get together, and there's baby, 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 baby every year. And extreme poverty and difficulty and alcoholism by him. And I think she sort of ran around and didn't really know how to parent. We were extremely neglected and left in places. We were put in people's cars. We were left at stores. We were left at the doorsteps. And we had a lot of things happen, a lot of emptiness in our lives as children. And as I put in the book, that the welfare man is what we called him that day. Whether we loved him or hated him, he was our savior that day. He got us out of there. Yeah. And I still had a lot of horror that I dealt with. But as I said in the book, as I detailed the story of Joseph, the statement that Joseph makes in the last chapter of Genesis, way back, was a healing verse for me. It jumped off the page. And his statement to his brothers was, what you intended for harm, God is now using Amen. For good to save the lives of many. That's the summary. Yep. And I knew all along that something, I knew all along that was the it, sort of the ending of my book, The Story of Joseph. But I've explained that Joseph had a choice also. And he chose grace. He chose forgiveness. And he chose to have a different attitude about what was done to him. He was put in the dungeon. He just years of being a slave and what happened to him. But he was lifted not because of his chip on his shoulder or because of an attitude, but he kept his focus on God's direction for his life. And I am to the point now that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt there was purpose in this pain, that I can not only just be a survivor but be an overcomer, but not just an overcomer, but be one that can be a leader and show others as a victor, mm-hmm. and say, I have had victory over this, that I overcame, that I survived, but now I'm a leader so that I can tell those behind me who are struggling with pain, struggling with unforgiveness, struggling with a checkered and unpolished past, mm-hmm. that I can say, look, follow these steps, follow my path, because now I can show you that the pain and what was intended for harm for me is now being used to Amen. Save many.
That's right. Amen. Now, the part that I really wanted to get to before we close and to surprise our listeners with, Einstein's theory of relativity. How did that one thing answer questions for you? And I guess before you answer that, tell our listeners, explain what we're talking about in your book.
Well, the epilogue is a letter that Albert Einstein wrote his daughter, and he asked her to hold on to the letter and not release it until there was a generation that was able to handle what he had discovered. And what she did is, in the 1980s, she donated several, I think it was over 1,000 letters to the Hebrew University. He was quite a letter writer. And this particular letter was written to her, his daughter, about this particular discovery that he found involving his theory of relativity. And in the letter, I wish there was time to actually read the letter, but let's see how I can look at the notes, because I want to quote him. Is there time for me to read part of it?
Sure.
Okay. So I'll lead up to the fact. I'll just go ahead and start on the main part here. My darling Lisrel, when I proposed the theory of relativity, very few understood me, and what I will reveal now to transmit to mankind will also collide with the misunderstanding and prejudice in the world. I ask you to guard this letter as long as necessary, years, decades, until society is advanced enough to accept what I will explain below. There is an extremely powerful force that so far science has not found a formal explanation of. It is a force that includes and governs all others and is even behind any phenomenon operating in the universe and has not yet been identified by us. This universal force is love. When scientists looked for When scientists looked for a unified theory of the universe, they forgot the most powerful unseen force. Love is light that enlightens those who give and receive it. Love is gravity because it makes some people feel attracted to others. Love is power because it manipulates the best we have and allows humanity not to be extinguished in their blind selfishness. Love unfolds and reveals. For we live and we die for love. God is love, and love is God. This force explains everything and gives meaning to life. This is a variable that we have ignored for too long, maybe because we are afraid of love, because it's the only energy in the universe that man has not learned to drive it at will. To give visibility to love, I made a simple substitution in my most famous equation. If instead of E equals MC squared, we accept that the energy to heal the world can be obtained through love multiplied by the speed of light squared, we arrive at the conclusion that love is the most powerful force there is because it has no limits. After the failure of humanity in the use and control of the other forces of the universe that have turned us against us, it is urgent that we nourish ourselves with another kind of energy. If we want our species to survive, if we want to find meaning in life, if we want to save the world and every sentient being that inhabits it, love is the one and only answer. Perhaps we're not ready to make a bomb of love, a device powerful enough to entirely destroy the hate, selfishness, and greed that devastates this planet. However, each individual carries within them a small but powerful generator of love whose energy is waiting to be released. When we learn to give and receive the universal energy, dear Lease Rule, we will have affirmed that love conquers all, is able to transcend everything and anything, because love is the quintessence of life. I deeply regret not having been able to express what's in my heart, which is quietly beaten for you all my life. Maybe it's too late to apologize, but time is relative. I need to tell you that I love you, and thanks to you, I have reached the ultimate answer. Your Amen. Father, Albert Einstein.
Amen. That is awesome. I mean, put it like this. That'll preach.
Amen. Yes.
And to come from, you know, Albert Einstein, E equals MC squared, and you substitute, love, God is love, love is God. It is just awesome. I really am happy you put that in that book, because I did not know about that, but I can guarantee you that I will be talking about it.
I'm excited, and I'm thankful that the Lord prompted me to insert that. And now, like you said, since the book has been recorded and released and published, that, you know, I've spent more time like dissecting it and reading it, mm-hmm. and it's profound, yeah. And it's so simple, but yet we get tied up in our own selfishness, and it's hard. Listen, it's not easy always to forgive. However, if we begin to have the mindset of Christ, and he was asked, how many times you forgive your brother? 70 times 7, you know, on and on. But we're like, well, I don't know if they've earned it. I don't know if I need to be around them. And we have all of these disqualifiers, but yet we claim to really love God. We claim to be an example for him. We claim to have a call. We claim to have a ministry. And there are so many that have not mastered this command. It is a command of Christ, of God. And it is one word. It's a choice. Amen. And it's amazing the people that have contacted me and the reaction, the response of this book. And I think that it's, like I've said, it's the ultimate hurdle of man. But what I have found, I found this in my life, and I'm getting a lot of people saying the same thing. It is amazing when you deal truthfully with forgiveness, totally, the power that gets in your life. I believe that there is a huge piece of power from God. I can't give it a right word, a blessing mm-hmm. that's sitting there on a shelf. And when we apply, not just say, when we apply forgiveness against those who've wounded us or hurt us, that there is something that is handed to us, and we supernaturally become tremendously stronger. Our ministry is bigger. And I don't know what that word is, but something happens, and many people have talked about it. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's a gift waiting on us if we're willing to make the choice to fully forgive.
Here's an example that's just come to my mind real quick, and I'll just say this before we close. I'm sure you have, and I know I have, and I know virtually every listener has, at some point in time, gotten shocked by an electric outlet. Right. And let's say you are in a dark room and the darkness represents the evil and the devil and all that. You know there's a light there, but you found the lamp is not plugged in. You're holding on to the cord, but you're worried about being shocked again. Now, the power from the electric company is available to illuminate that entire room and drive out the darkness. But you have to have faith in God to take that plug, and even though you've been shocked by that electric outlet before when you were tampering with it, to plug it in, the light comes on, the darkness flees, and now you're just bathed in the light of God. That reaching forth is the faith, and that cord represents forgiveness. You're trying to plug in to the love of God with that forgiveness, knowing that you've been hurt, but you just put your complete faith and trust in God, and that light drives darkness away, and you're now bathed in the light of God. To me, that is the forgiveness accepting the love of God. The love of God is always there. The electric company didn't shut down. The power is there. You just have to tap into it in order to drive the darkness out.
Brother, I just got a word. That was a great illustration. But the word just came to me is that you become the power. That is the blessing. That you're no longer just someone that's holding it. That you're gonna. That we are tapped into that electricity, that power, and we become the light. It's not just a lamp we're plugging in, which we were before. But when we make like that's, I've been trying to come up with an illustration, a way to phrase what that gift is that we receive. And I was right with you with your illustration. Amen. And instead of it being an external power that we're plugging in and putting a light out, we actually get the power within us.
There you go.
That we become the illuminator.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. There you got it, folks. That was straight from the Holy Spirit right there. Praise the Lord.
That's good.
Amen. Kim, I can't say enough about this book. I mean, I left you a raving review on Goodreads.com. Folks, I highly, highly recommend this book to you. And I don't do this very often, but I want to tell you in advance, you will not be able to put this book down. Or if you do, it'll just be for a few minutes until you pick it back up. I have not read a better book this year. And I read usually 2 to 3 books per month. And to date this year, this is middle of September in 2018, time of this recording. Out of all the books I've read, Kim's book is by far the best one so far this year. And so go to the link in the show notes, get your copy today. This book is so good, I really think you need to order 2 copies to give one away. I mean, you may know someone who's going through something right now, dealing with the past abuse that was inflicted on him. And give them a copy of this book. It may be the one thing that will bring them to Christ and provide them with the ability to forgive and to receive forgiveness as well. Kim, thank you so much for coming back on the program for today's interview, and I hope to stay in touch with you. Amen.
Thank you. And for those listening, you can always reach me through my website at kimchadwellministries.org.
Amen. That was my very next thing, if someone would get in touch with you. Amen.
Thank you.
So that's all the time we have for today, folks. Glory to God. Kim, time just seems to run so fast when we're talking.
It does.
Praise God. That's why we can always do this again. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you again for asking me and inviting me. It's a pleasure.
My pleasure. For Kim Chadwell, myself, folks, this is Pastor Bob Tibber reminding you that you too can be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.